It's time to have lunch and talk sports. It's the Midday Sports Zone on Middle Georgia's ESPN.
Happy Tuesday and welcome into the Midday Sports Zone. I'm Russ Brown, Daniel Shirley alongside, and we've got 2 hours of sports talk for you today, live from McCall's in Warner Robins. Always good to be here. Ken McCall and his staff do a fantastic job serving up delicious food, fantastic service. And Daniel, it's been, because the last time we were here, Cam was with me, so it's been.
No, I've been here since.
You've been here since?
Yeah, we came since I've been back. Yeah.
My memory's not great.
No. Well, you think, I was thinking Eric. Yeah, no.
Cam.
Yeah, the last time you came here, I wasn't here.
Twice.
Because y'all came for during the Masters.
That's right. We came during the Masters. It was good then, and I just had the, I got here a few minutes early today because I was like, well, I haven't really had breakfast. So if I go ahead and leave a few minutes early, I can knock out a sandwich before the show. And for some reason, and I do this with our sponsors, that I like to try different things all the time just to kind of get a, because, you know, I'm going to get on the radio and talk about the food. I want to be able to convey to the audience what's good and what's not good. And I'm not a picky eater at all, so I'm willing to try just about anything. But today I went, had to go to the favorite because I hadn't had it in a long time, and that's the Cali Wild Turkey. Oh my gosh.
Is that what, did you see Eric's comment on Twitter? Is that what he
was
talking
Eric
about?
Yeah, Eric Evenson, the Daniel's, the I guess the meat in the Daniel Shirley sandwich as far as co-host goes.
That sounds gross.
It really did, didn't it? I didn't think that through. But anyway, Eric was wanting us to send him a Cali Wild Turkey.
I told him he had to come see us. He had to come visit us. He can't just shoot out requests from Louisiana.
I mean, really, he works for a bowl game. What's he doing in May? He can take a week off and
he
come
said
hang out.
He's gonna get the private jet and fly over here. And
well, there you go. I didn't know the Independence Bowl had a private jet. Who knew?
I told him to stop big timing us and come see us, and he said he'll get the private jet. So,
well, it is. It's a delicious sandwich. The sandwiches here at McCall's are just tremendous. It's a great spot for lunch. They're open Monday through Friday. Open the doors about 10 o'clock. They'll be here till 3 o'clock or so, 2:30, 3 o'clock, Monday through Friday.
2:30 is what it says on the door.
So if you're in the Warner Robins area, especially you folks in Macon and maybe over in Lazella or Gray or down in Hawkinsville or in our listening area, if you find yourself in Warner Robins for business, it's easy to find. It's on the corner of Watson and Davis. And McCall Sandwich Shop, again, they're here Monday through Friday, and you can come in for lunch. They've got specials every day, good desserts. They'll have soups of the day, all of that good stuff. And then, of course, the sandwiches on the menu are incredible. And this isn't just some meat slapped between two pieces of loaf bread. I mean, the breads are specific to the sandwiches. I mean, it is a true, I've called Ken the sandwich artist. It is a true work of art. And that the Cali Wild Turkey, and the Cali part of it is, with avocado. If you don't like avocados, you can just get the Wild Turkey without. But I'm telling you right now, get it. You got to try it Cali style first. And Daniel, I'm not an avocado guy. I don't really like avocados. In fact, the boy, we're at a Mexican restaurant over the weekend, and he always orders some guacamole. He loves it. I think it's disgusting.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
But on that sandwich, it takes it to another level. I've had it with and without. And you can't, I mean, you get a little of the avocado flavor, but the way it works with everything else going on that sandwich, unbelievable.
I've had avocado. I'm not a big fan, but yeah, I'm with you.
And of course, your go-to is usually the Philly cheesesteak, right?
That's what I usually get. I was looking at some soup this morning. I think I might try some soup. I saw chicken and dumpling soup, so I might try that.
The chicken tortilla soup here is incredible.
Soup is great. Every time I come, I'm like, okay, that's what I want, and they haven't had it. They don't have it today.
Special, yeah.
I'm gonna ask Ken to make it for me specially. See if he'll do that.
Oh, you got those kind of.
Yeah, I got that kind of pull.
There you go. Well, it's always great to be here. You can visit them online at McCalls1001.com. They'll do caterings, specially made desserts and cakes. Obviously, you need to call ahead for that stuff. If you're in the delivery area, they are on waiter. So if you want, you know, maybe have something delivered to the office or you just don't feel like getting out of the house because maybe you got the day off and you're just going to lounge around in your pajamas all day, waiter will bring you a delicious sandwich right to the door. Again, if you're in the delivery area.
You got to put on your pants to answer the door, though. Can't come to your door.
Do you?
Can't come to the door in your underwear. That's just rude.
I said PJs. I didn't say underwear. Why are you just taking an extra step?
I mean, isn't that just rude?
If I'm wearing a T-shirt and pajama pants, that's fine, right? Is that legal? I mean, sure. People go to Walmart dressed like that.
I mean, you got something under the pajama pants?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, then you're fine. As long as there's two layers of clothing.
Where I'm trying to talk about sandwiches delivered to a house. Where is this conversation going?
Because it's rude to come to have somebody deliver food to you. As long as there's two layers of clothing on the bottom. The top can be one layer.
Okay, very.
T-shirt, it's fine.
I concur.
The bottom has to be two layers of clothing. There has to be two layers of
people
clothing
are trying to eat lunch
between
here.
Me,
you're
and,
making me real,
and your stuff.
You're making everybody in here uncomfortable right now.
They can't hear me.
Oh, yeah. No, that's just a speaker hooked up. No, that's all. Yeah.
Okay.
No, but anywho.
Yes. But they're on waiter, and if you need them to bring you food, they will.
And we'll be hanging out here after the show. You've never used
waiter? I've never used waiter.
It's convenient, especially if you know, you know those nights when you don't necessarily have anything in the house, or at least you don't have anything in the house. You feel like cooking at that moment, but you're hungry. So back in the day, you just order a pizza.
Oh, yeah.
It's the same concept, yeah. Only it just opens up a door of much more than pizza. But let me give you some waiter tips while we're talking about waiter. A couple of waiter tips. Think about what you're ordering, because there is a process. I mean, they have bags, obviously, to keep it warm like the pizza places do. But it can take, you know, it can take a little while from preparation to bag to car to house. So, like, you know, I always get, like, potato chips instead of fries because the fries might be soggy.
Oh, they'll be soggy and cold by the time you get them in.
You know, so you got to think about stuff like that. And also, some places, the prices are a little bit different. So keep a close eye on that. A little bit extra for the waiter. Which is totally understandable, but just a few waiter tips from a guy that might go broke from it because his wife's addicted to it. Hope she's not listening. Anyway, so we're here at McCall's, and we'll be hanging out after the show if you want to stop by and say hey. Daniel said he's going to be here till, well, you'll be here till about 2, won't you?
Till about 2, tip about 2:15.
Just sitting over here in the corner working, so come bug him so he can't get any work done.
That's fine. I prefer that.
This afternoon, we'll be at the Taco Shed. So if you can't get by to say, hey, at McCall's, we'll be over at the Taco Shed this afternoon starting at 3 o'clock. So just spending the day in Warner Robins. It's a beautiful day. Beautiful city.
Really
always,
is.
Always
cool today.
Glad to be down here. Yeah, I was looking at the thing. I might go with a fire pit tonight for that draft.
A little
lottery.
Windy, too.
It is a little bit breezy. The wind's going to have to die down. But, I mean, it was 52 last night. The high today is 77 with a low of 50. It's May the 14th.
My sister-in-law texted my wife last night and said the high in Philadelphia yesterday was 44. The high. It's May.
That's crazy. We're having
almost to the second half of May.
We have like a real deal spring.
That's right.
But it's, you know, the high on Friday is, right? 90.
Oh, yeah?
Have we pierced 90 yet? Maybe once or twice?
I think we have.
You okay over there?
Yeah, I'm knocking stuff over.
All right.
Not too bad. I didn't get it in laptop or anything.
Well, that's good. That's key. But anyway.
Just water.
We invite you to stop by and have some lunch at McCall's today or any day. Again, they're open Monday through Friday, 10 until 2:30 on the corner of Davis and Watson. You can visit the website, McCall's1001.com. You can also order through their website. They do carry out, delivery, through waiter, catering. And obviously call ahead. The last time we were here, you weren't here. The last time we were here, there was actually a birthday party here.
Is that right?
Yeah, this table right here, not the one directly in front of us, but the next one was decorated. And there were all kind of different little knickknacks on the table. And we thought it was a birthday, but it could have been Easter. We weren't sure. Me and Cam sat here trying to figure out when the heck was going on. And about 12:30 or so, these young ladies came in and had a birthday party at McCall's.
Nothing wrong with that.
No. Well, I mean, it's Well, I thought it was a great idea. Food's here so good. That's what you want at a party, right? It's good food. So you got it here at McCall's. It is NBA Draft Lottery Day. This is a huge day in the sports world, right? Because of what's at stake tonight in Zion Williamson. Make no mistake about it. This guy is a highly anticipated player coming into the NBA. Probably the most anticipated draft pick since LeBron James, maybe Anthony Davis, but when you start talking about the annals of NBA draft history and the excitement over the number one pick and what it could mean for a franchise, very small number of guys. I was kind of looking back through, going all the way back to the 90s, Daniel, and I mean, you're talking about Tim Duncan, Dwight Howard I was kicking around, but you know, Emeka Okafor was right in the mix with him, so not really. But Tim Duncan, obviously, LeBron James, maybe Anthony Davis. I mean, a very short list of people this anticipated, and the Atlanta Hawks are right in the thick of it. We're going to take a break, come back. We'll talk about tonight's draft lottery. Chris Kirshner of The Athletic is going to join us at 11:30. He covers the Atlanta Hawks for The Athletic. He will be in the room tonight when the ping pong balls are pulled. Obviously, he won't be able to tweet it right away, but he will be in the room tonight, so we'll talk to him about that. And just the anticipation on what it's a franchise-changing day for somebody who we won't know until about, I don't know, 8:30, 8:45 tonight, but a big day in the NBA. We'll come back, talk about that and more as we broadcast live from McCall's in Warner Robins. You're listening to the Midday Sports Zone. Welcome back into the Midday Sports Zone. Russ Brown and Daniel Shirley live at McCall's in Warner Robins today. It is NBA draft lottery today, and Zion Williamson is obviously the big prize tonight. Whoever gets the number one pick, that's who they're going to take. We already know that. And you were telling me this morning on ESPN, apparently they're doing hypotheticals for anybody that could have the number one pick and what he would mean to the organization.
It's been like the last few days. Like the Bulls one and the Hawks one ran Sunday, I think, is when it ran. And I mean, that's when you know you're dealing with a different kind of a cat. Is this isn't just some random first pick who's going to be a really good player. This is a guy who, I mean, you saw, I don't know if you saw the story on our site, but Steve Koonin talking about what Zion means. And Steve Koonin is not going to come out and say, hey, we're taking Zion. I mean, that's just not good business to do that.
Sure.
But he did acknowledge that Zion is a phenomenon who's just different than everybody else. And it's going to be really, really fun to see how this plays out tonight and see which team is going to end up with him.
Yeah, there's the USA Today has an article out basically saying, you know, who they think the best fit for Zion would be. I saw a poll question today from the Dan Patrick Show on social media where they're asking, you know, if you're Zion Williamson, who do you want to get the number one pick? In other words, what team do you want to play for? And I would imagine the ratings tonight for the NBA draft lottery probably going to be the most watched NBA draft lottery we've seen in a while, if not the highest rated one ever. And it's all these teams at the top that want Zion Williamson. And basically tonight, the way the draft lottery is going to work is they will have the lottery for the top four picks, and then after that, it will go in order of record. So the Atlanta Hawks, who have the fifth worst record, only stand a 2.2% chance of actually getting the fifth pick, obviously, because if somebody ahead of them jumps into the lottery, then that will push them down the board a little bit. So that's the first thing you're looking for, obviously, is who those top four picks are going to be. And then from there, where does that Atlanta pick land if they're not one of the top four teams? The second thing you're watching for tonight is the Dallas pick. There's a 24, give or take, percent chance that the Mavericks picks ends up and really in the top four. I mean, it's a top five protected pick, but obviously if Dallas doesn't get into the top four, then they're not going to have a top five pick. So that's kind of what you're looking for there. The Mavericks have a 26.3% chance of being in the top four. The Hawks chances of being in the top four, 42.1% chance, and their chances of the number one pick, 10.5%. The third best odds of landing the number one pick in the draft. New York, Cleveland, and Phoenix are all stand at 14%. And then some team, I can't remember who would cheer for him, at 12.5%. And I swear to goodness, if the Bulls end up with the number one pick, you can have tomorrow off.
I can? Or are you going to take it off?
Both. I don't know if I can take it.
To be honest, if the Bulls get the first or second pick, I'll be happy. Because they're going to get either Zion or John Morant.
Yeah,
I know the Hawks are in a little bit different situation because they have a point guard, but the Bulls really need a point guard. But you can't turn down Zion.
Well, there just can't. No, you can't. And there's so many different scenarios that could play out from the Hawks' standpoint. You know, the second best player in the draft you just mentioned was Ja Morant. I would imagine, for example, if the Hawks end up with the number two pick, a lot of the conversation and a lot of the due diligence between tonight and the actual draft is going to be, could you put Trae Young and Ja Morant in the same backcourt? Don't know how that would work. Obviously, trades come into factor here, but the tricky part for that with the Hawks is they have five picks. And Travis Link has already gone on record saying he really would prefer to not add five rookies to this roster, meaning when the actual draft rolls around. Now, it may not be anything earth-shattering or significant, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him, for example, take those last three picks and maybe move up a few slots to get a particular player they like late in the first round or early in the second round.
Do you do what you did last year and get another first-round pick next year?
Sure. Try to get a first-rounder next year. But the tricky part for the Hawks is if you end up with that number two pick, I mean, the thought process obviously is trade out, but you're going to accumulate more picks if you do that. So there's a lot of ins and outs to this deal for Atlanta. They could end up with two top 10 picks. They could have one top 10 pick. I think most of us would give up both lottery – well, not give up both lottery picks, but give up the second lottery pick if it guaranteed the number one spot. Just a lot of different ways this thing could go tonight. And the prize is Zion Williamson. I would imagine – I don't know if you heard me. I know you were going to get some napkins to clean up your spill there. I mean, the highest-rated NBA draft lottery tonight?
Oh, maybe LeBron is one. I mean, yeah. You know, I think it would have to be – if it's not tonight, number one. Because, you know, look, this is a different world than when LeBron was drafted.
It really is.
You think about it, LeBron wasn't even drafted in the, quote, social media era. He was drafted before that. And, I mean, this is a different kind of a world that we live in than when LeBron joined the league. So I would think this is going to be the highest rated one. Because I know we're going to be watching it. And Ben has been freaking out all week, waiting, or, you know, since last week, ready to watch the thing. So, I think this definitely, and I'm trying to find the ratings of past ones on the internet, and I can't find them anywhere. But if this not the most watched, I think that it would have to be probably second behind LeBron.
Yeah, I would think so. Going back to that USA Today article, here's some of the things they're writing, and we'll stick with the top five teams here of who could land Zion Williamson, the Knicks. They write, it goes without saying that the opportunity to play in Madison Square Garden would lift Williamson to an international mega star status if he's the actual savior for the Knicks have been looking for. But can you really trust a franchise that James Dolan has thus far run into the ground? And that always leads me to remind everybody, in the midst of the draft workouts, the first week in June, James Dolan will be playing a concert in Macon.
Well, and the basketball people are probably happy that he's doing team.
I guess if you're a Knicks fan, that's actually probably good news.
Probably a good thing.
That he can't really get in the way because he's out on tour with his band.
That's a positive for sure.
And the Knicks have a 14% chance of landing Zion Williamson. The other teams with the 14% chances are Cleveland and Phoenix. They write, the Cavs have won the lottery an incredible four times in the past 16 years. So if Williamson is Cleveland bound, nobody would be too surprised, but it absolutely shouldn't be his preferred destination. Cleveland is at the beginning of a rebuild, and it's going to take time to unload some of the bad contracts left over from the end of the LeBron James era.
Cleveland's in a weird spot.
You know, I said on yesterday's show that the misery index has got to be the highest if you're a Lakers fan. But then yesterday, or last night, I was going back through some of the old lotteries. The Cleveland Cavaliers had a run of three number one picks from 2011 to 2015, and they have nothing to show for.
Nothing to show for. And, you know, I mean, they won a title. So that, but they have nothing long-term to show for. You're right. I mean, they don't have Kyrie anymore. Kyrie left.
And they traded Wiggins. And Bennett was a total bust.
That's right.
So, I mean, just an absolute dumpster fire.
And LeBron bailed on him twice.
Yeah. The other team with a 14% chance are the Phoenix Suns. By the way, I haven't given the excitement score. They give an excitement score on a scale of 1 to 10. Zion would be a 6 in New York, a 3 in Cleveland. They say a 5 in Phoenix. Through their years in the lottery, the Suns have collected a lot of players that NBA experts seem to like, but thus far they've been unable to do anything with them. In theory, you could slot in Williamson at power forward next to DeAndre Ayton with Devin Booker on the wing alongside Mikal Bridges and have a core worth getting excited about. You know, that's the thing about Phoenix is the idea of Williamson and Ayton being on the court together.
Yeah, right. I mean, there's a lot of young talent in Phoenix. But, and look, I like their new hire. Monty Williams is the new head coach. I really like that hire. But they just had a new coach last year.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like they're not being run correctly.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, come on, you get Zion. It cures a lot of ills.
And he's going to make a lot of coaches look
that's
good.
That is for sure.
The Bulls, excitement scale for Chicago is a 5, according to USA Today, a 12.5% chance to land him. And the website just kicked me off the site. But those are just some of the things that the kind of the national media are writing about here today ahead of this. It says for Chicago, the tough part about this fit is the Bulls already drafted in their front court of the future with Lauri Markkanen and Wendell Carter Jr. It would make far more sense for them to land at number two somehow in order to take Ja Morant as their point guard. If the Bulls did land at number one, it might turn into an interesting trade discussion with whoever gets the number two pick, though they should absolutely keep it and figure out the rest later. There's no way they pass on Zion Williamson, is there?
The Bulls?
Yeah.
No way. No.
I mean,
no,
nobody. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, you come to a draft and people always say best player available, right? And I think that has to be weighed against need.
But especially in basketball.
But there are players out there, and I think Zion Williamson is one of these players where he supersedes need.
Yeah, that's right.
Because of what he could be and how talented he can be.
And well, Ben and I were talking about it last night, and we were like, what do you do if you draft Zion? And he made the point, you make it work.
You figure it out.
That's right.
Yeah, you figure it out from there because he's too good of a player to pass up on. And then lastly, for the Hawks, they give them an excitement scale of 8. Anyone who paid attention to the passing wizardry Trae Young displayed in his rookie season would have to be excited about the possibility of him throwing lobs for Williamson and John Collins to put on the highlight reels for the next decade or so. Though the offensive fit alongside Collins in a half-court scenario might not be perfect, Williamson's defensive talent would significantly boost a team that was among the worst in the league this year. I mean, it would just be incredible. I mean, and they asked the question at the end. They write, on the other hand, Atlanta doesn't have a great reputation as an NBA market. That's not true, actually. Or a big draw for free agents. Could Williamson be the player that changes that? And that's what you're hoping for. Because, look, if the Atlanta Hawks end up with the number one pick tonight, the feeling in this state about the Atlanta Hawks is different tomorrow.
Oh, sure.
I mean, just in an instant.
And just imagine what the Hawks would be with him.
Oh, my gosh. It would just be so much fun. Now, when they say Atlanta doesn't have a great reputation as an NBA market, that's not true, actually. Atlanta has a great reputation as an NBA market. It is one of the outside of the cities actually participating in the playoffs. Atlanta draws the highest ratings of any city in the country. They're just not Hawks fans.
That's right.
And see, this would change that in an instant. This would change that. So basically what you already have is a lot of NBA fans in the city. And it's been my experience that NBA fans tend to be bandwagon jumpers more so than any other professional sport. There's a lot of people that were Cleveland Cavaliers fans last year that may be Lakers fans this year, and once upon a time were Heat fans, right? Same thing with Kevin Durant moving around, and people just kind of go with the players a little bit as opposed to cheering for the team. So you put Zion Williamson in that market, all those people that already love the NBA are going to jump on the Hawks bandwagon.
You know how every year we look at football markets and, like, Birmingham is the number one rated football market in the country every year for college football? Atlanta's the same way with the NBA. It might not be number one, but to say it's a bad market, it's like Steve Koonin said yesterday. They didn't have a good arena. They didn't have great players. Atlanta is a good market. You just have to – you got to give them the right kind of thing to cheer for.
Well, it hasn't been a good franchise.
That's true. And that's exactly right.
And see, and a lot of that goes back to the ownership conglomerate they had, which basically had – by the end of it all, they had three different – they were based out of three different cities, Atlanta, D.C., and I can't remember the third one. I mean, it was basically just a bunch of frat boys running the team, and they ran it into the ground. And Tony Ressler has come in and taken over as the owner,
right,
the guy that you point to. And they've got the training facility that they've built. They've refurbished the arena, which looks incredible. And, you know, I said this on yesterday's show, Daniel. I don't understand why college kids pick college football teams based on uniforms. In the same way, I don't understand why free agents would be more attractive to a franchise because of their arena. But when you work for the Hawks, you don't worry about that.
Right.
You just fix the arena because you want to attract the players, and they've done that.
I think a lot of that says if you've got a crappy arena, I think it says, well, how well are you run?
That's a good
point.
Yeah,
and I think that's a big part of that too. And you're right about the Hawks; they are better run now with Tony Ressler than they have been in a long time. And I love this quote from Steve Koonin talking about this. And all this process and everything about going through this, he said, this is probably the most successful 29-win team in the history of the sport. We played well. We didn't tank. We tried really hard. If the basketball gods have a vote, we're going to be in really good shape. And, I mean, that's right. They did not tank.
They didn't. And there's a lot of truth into what he said, too. And I'll echo it by saying this. The Hawks won 29 games this year. Brian Windhorst wrote an article about them for ESPN.com, the national basketball writer for ESPN, in April for a 29-win Hawks team. When has that ever happened
before?
Well,
and if John Collins plays the first 15 games, they might win 35 games.
Yeah, that's a great point. So they are it really feels like this is the beginning of an era in Hawks basketball. I mean, we felt this way before, and we felt this way recently before. I think when they drafted Josh Smith and had added Joe Johnson, you know, you there was some excitement, but not to this level. Not to this level, because they drafted a player last year in Trae Young that made everybody on the team better. They are one of the most exciting young and up-and-coming teams. I mean, the age of the core players – I mean, Young's 21. What's Herter? 21, 20, 21 years old. Yeah. John Collins is like 22 or 23. I mean, this is a young team. And, boy, I tell you, you add Zion Williams into that mix, and it could just absolutely be incredible. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Chris Kirshner of The Athletic will join us. He'll be in the room tonight when they pull the ping pong balls at the draft lottery. We'll ask him about that and, obviously, his thoughts on what a franchise-changing night this could be for the Atlanta Hawks. We're live at McCall's in Warner Robins, and we're back with more right after this. Welcome back into the Midday Sports Zone. Russ Brown and Daniel Shirley with you live from McCall's in Warner Robins today. Nice lunch crowd on hand already. So if you're thinking about heading down here to grab a sandwich, you better hurry up because the line is headed towards the door. It moves fast. That's the good news. So if you get here and you see some folks standing by the door while you're waiting in line, it will move quickly. But especially if you want to get your hands on one of these specials, come on down. All right, let's talk some Hawks basketball now. Chris Kirshner joining us. He covers the team for The Athletic. Good afternoon, Chris. How you doing?
Doing well. How are you guys?
Doing all right. Well, I guess it's morning where you're at in Chicago. You'll actually be in the room tonight when the ping pong balls are pulled out of the machine. We'll get into the lottery and what it could mean for the Atlanta Hawks. But for you personally, how excited are you to have this experience tonight?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely cool. I mean, considering that this lottery is one of the most anticipated in lottery history since it started in 1985, because obviously everyone knows the reward at the end is Zion Williamson, and probably the most hyped prospect since LeBron came into the league. So, yeah, I mean, for this to be my first one, it's obviously super exciting for me.
Chris, what's the feeling like around this team, around the leadership of the team about, I guess tonight's kind of luck of the draw, but just where they are after this season and what they could be after this draft coming up?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of hope surrounding this team. I mean, everybody that we talked to during exit interviews now a few weeks ago, Travis Schlenk, general manager, Lloyd Pierce, and even the Hawks CEO, Steve Koonin, who deals with all the financials of the team. I mean, I don't get anything other than positivity surrounding this team because, you know, not many people thought the Hawks would have a chance to win 30 games. They probably should have won 30 games. I mean, the last game of the season was definitely a fluke with the way it ended. But I think there's definitely a lot of hope surrounding this team for what it can be. And obviously tonight is a big part of that hope. And, you know, if they do get Zion, it definitely transforms the Hawks immediately. You know, the on-court is definitely something that needs to be seen. I mean, from everybody who is a draft expert, Zion is pretty much a sure thing. But, again, in sports, there really isn't such a thing as a sure thing. But what Zion does is he definitely brings hype, excitement. You would think that attendance would definitely increase if Zion was on this team. So I think that's why a lot of people, not only in the Hawks, but the 14 teams in the lottery are hoping that Zion does go to their team because of just what he can bring from a financial standpoint and what he can possibly bring on the court.
Oh, it would absolutely. We said earlier in the show, Chris, it's a franchise changing night for somebody with this guy and Zion Williamson. Right. In your opinion, I mean, is this the best player, the most anticipated player to be in the draft since LeBron James?
Yeah, I would think so. You know, Kevin Durant, obviously, what he did in his 1 year at Texas was really great. Anthony Davis, what he did at Kentucky. But since Anthony Davis, there really hasn't been a number one pick that I think a lot of people think, okay, like this guy is definitely going to be a mega star. I mean, probably Karl Anthony Towns is one to point at as being that. I mean, what he's done with the Timberwolves in his first few seasons in the league, definitely impressive, but I don't think anybody was like, wow, we got Karl Anthony Towns, like we're winning a championship now. But with Zion, I feel like a lot of people believe that, okay, like we have Zion now, like we can actually, you know, one day be a championship winning team. I think a lot of fans, a lot of organizations believe that. So yeah, I would definitely think that, you know, since LeBron, he's probably one of two or three where people were like, okay, like now we have something where we can build for the future.
Chris, when you look at him and what he could bring, you wrote a story about this a few weeks ago about, Trae Young called it the new Lob City. I mean, it just boggles the mind, the anticipation of what they could be with him on the court with Trae Young and John Collins, doesn't it?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I know some NBA fans are like, well, we don't want to be Lob City. They didn't win anything. But I think what he was saying is that, you know, the amount of excitement that the Hawks would have with Zion on one side of the floor and John on the other side of the floor is that the athleticism that both those guys brings would open things up for a guy like Kevin Huerter. And Kevin actually mentioned in that story I wrote that, you know, he's hoping Zion comes to Atlanta because it helps him personally, because opposing teams, when they're on defense, they have to attack the paint because John and Zion are two of the most athletic players who will be in the league when Zion gets drafted. And teams have to account for that. And teams will have to double-team those guys in the paint. And because of that, that would leave someone like Kevin open in the corner. And as we saw this past season, Kevin is one of the better young three-point shooters in the league. So with Trey's passing ability, Trey can, you know, run toward the basket. And Zion and John can also attack the basket. And then, you know, opposing teams will have to crash the paint, and that could lead to an open three-pointer for Kevin in the corner. So, you know, the options that the Hawks would have with a guy like Zion would be endless, and I think a lot of fans, NBA fans, not only Hawks fans, are hoping that the Hawks do get Zion because of the excitement with someone like Trey, who showed in his first year that he's already one of the best passers in the league, and he's only 20 years old, so, you know, his skill set is going to continue to grow. So, you know, the potential for the Hawks is probably the biggest, I would say, out of the teams in the lottery. Maybe not the Knicks, just because they have over $70 million in cap space and can add guys like Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving to potentially adding Zion on their team, or even trading Zion to the Pelicans for Anthony Davis. So probably the Knicks and Hawks, if I were an NBA fan, I would probably be looking at those two teams most intently to win the lottery because of just the possibilities that can happen.
Chris Kirshner of The Athletic joining us here on the program. Chris, you know, the most likely scenario, I guess, are the better odds for the Hawks tonight say that they would wind up possibly with the 7th and the 9th pick. If that does play out tonight, outside of Zion Williamson, if the Hawks did have the 7th and the 9th pick, is this draft deep enough where they're still going to get some really good players there?
Yeah, I mean, with the way the season went, it would definitely be disappointing for the Hawks if that was where they ended up. And as you mentioned, the 7th pick for them is the likeliest option at this time. So, with this draft, it's definitely not as deep as last year. Last year was incredibly deep. As we saw, pretty much everybody in the top 10 last year worked out for their teams outside of Mo Bamba, because Bamba got hurt for the Magic, but you know, last year's draft was definitely deeper than this one. There's talent, and you know, Travis Schlenk has said over and over that no matter where the team drafts, you know, you can find talent. Again, it's going to be more difficult to find that talent at 7 or 9, which is where the Dallas pick is right now. I do think that there are players out there that can definitely help the Hawks, but not someone like Zion if you get the number one pick, or even Jarrett Culver, who will likely go in, that 5 to 6 range. So if the Hawks are in that 7 range, maybe they package that pick with the Dallas pick if it ends up at 9, move up and get their guy, because Travis has said before that, you know, he doesn't want to add 5 rookies to this team. That would be way too much, and the Hawks right now are projected to have 5 picks in this draft, and, you know, perhaps that they package the 7th pick, if that's where it ends up, with the Dallas pick, and move up and get a guy like Virginia's DeAndre Hunter or Texas Tech's Jarrett Culver. But again, we have no idea where the ping pong balls are going to fall until a few hours away from now.
Sure, we'll have a much clearer understanding tomorrow what could happen. Chris Kirshner of The Athletic will have it all covered for you. He will be in the room tonight when the ping pong balls are taken out of the hopper. Chris, if the Hawks end up with the number one pick, we're giving you all the credit.
Sounds good. Hopefully I get a raise, too.
Good stuff, man. Well, hey, thanks for jumping in with us today. We certainly do appreciate it. Enjoy it tonight, and hopefully we'll catch up with you again real soon.
All right, thanks. See you guys.
All right, take care. Again, Chris Kirshner covers the Atlanta Hawks for The Athletic. We'll be in the room tonight when the ping pong balls are selected. That's exciting. I mean, and how cool is it for him? They always select members of the media, and this is how you know it's on the up and up now.
Yep.
You know, there's not going to be the frozen envelope like we had with Patrick Ewing. The David Stern era is over. You know, we don't suspend players anymore and tell them they're trying baseball. Everything's on the up and up. I'm messing with Daniel.
Don't let basketball teams play football on the court. Try to hurt people.
But what an exciting! Oh, how exciting for him to, for the first time he's ever been selected to be a part of the Dirty Dozen, as they're called. That it's the Zion Williamson draft. That's too cool.
It shows you how good of a job Chris is doing covering the team. He's earned a lot of respect around the team. The team made this happen for him, and we really appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
And really looking forward to it tonight. And he is going to, if you're listening and you want to talk to Chris more about this, he's doing a live Q&A on our website at noon to talk just about the lottery tonight and his thoughts on everything. And he's going to have a story tomorrow on behind the scenes kind of stuff that happens tonight. So
very cool.
It's going to be a lot of fun for sure. Can't wait to read that. And it's going to be a fun night tonight for, I think, for Hawks fans, for Bulls fans, for Suns fans, Knicks fans, the NBA. I mean, it's going to be a great night for sure for the NBA and a lot of fun.
We're going to take a break. We're live at McCall's in Warner Robins. It is Zion Williamson Day. We're just all the positive thoughts you have, all the positivity you can convey for the Hawks to get the number one pick tonight in the NBA's draft lottery. We'll take a break. More from McCall's right after this. .47 Russ and Daniel back with you here, Midday Sports Zone live at McCall's in Warner Robins. The phone lines are open now the rest of the way, 478-646 ESPN. You can talk about the draft lottery. We can always talk Braves baseball, college football, wherever you want to go in the world of sports is fine with us. The drawing tonight takes place at 7:50, and then the TV show will air on ESPN at 8:30. And the folks in the room will have to turn in their cell phones and all that, so no leaks are expected. I mean, I'm not going to say we won't get leaks. You never know, but no leaks are expected. Do you think people start sending out fake leaks at like 8 o'clock?
Well, if you leak something from this, you probably won't get back invited.
This is correct.
Ever again, right?
But if you were going to leak one lottery, this is one to leak,
this would be the one, yeah. I mean, if you know some random dude from Wisconsin is going to be the number one pick, nobody's going to care if you leak that one, but this would be the one you would want to leak for sure.
Well, it's just a big night, and you know, I guess the thing for the Hawks is, even if they don't get the number one pick, I mean, even if they don't get both lottery picks, they're still going to add a lottery pick to this team. They're going to get a really good player to go along with what they already have. It's a short list of errors you kind of have to go back through. But, I mean, is this the best shape this franchise has ever been in today?
I don't know. They did win 29 games. I mean, but as far as looking ahead,
mm-hmm.
I think there's as much optimism and hope about the team as there's ever been.
Yeah.
That I can remember. Even when Dominique was there, did you go into a season going, oh, my God, I can't wait to watch the Hawks? Or what are the Hawks going to do now? I don't know that there was ever – even after they won 60 games, the next year you didn't think, oh, my God, what are they going to – because you knew they were still going to run into LeBron.
Right, in the 60-win season. Well, not just that. You knew Damari Carroll was on the way out.
That's right.
And that team was comprised of the sum of its parts.
That felt like their peak.
There wasn't an individual player on that team that was the guy. It was the collective group together. And once Kent Bazemore stepped into the Damari Carroll role, it was over. It was basically that was all she wrote. The Dominique era, he was a great player, but he just happened to be in an era where there were other great players with better talent around them. I mean, even and not just Jordan and the Bulls. I mean, obviously that's a part of it, but Larry Bird with the Celtics,
the Cavaliers.
The Pistons at the time. I would even throw in the 76ers some years with Barkley. There was excitement and people loved Dominique Wilkins. People still love Dominique Wilkins. So I think there was excitement and he was a reason to watch the Hawks play. There's no question about that. But as far as thinking that, you know, someday this would lead to a championship, I don't know that those thoughts, I mean, in fans' minds, sure, but I don't know how realistic that really ever was.
Well, look, I mean, even with LeBron, I mean, Dominique's teams, you knew there was a ceiling for them because they were going to run into Magic's Lakers, Larry's Celtics. The Rockets were really good back then. And then, obviously, Jordan's teams as they started to take over the mantle. I don't know. I mean, it feels like Golden State might be wrapping up their dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
If it is a dynasty, if you want to call it, whatever you want to call it, it's fine. I mean, if Kevin Durant leaves, does it feel like – it feels like the league is wide open. If he goes to the Knicks, doesn't it feel like it's wide open?
Well, I mean, if you take Kevin Durant and you put him in New York, and let's just say with Kyrie Irving, okay, and then you take – LeBron James and what's going on in L.A., those are your two best players, right? We've seen James Harden with the Rockets and kind of what that is. But then you look at the Hawks, and not necessarily next season per se, but then you look at the Hawks and you think about Trae Young, John Collins, and Zion Williamson together for the next – even if it's just the next 5 years.
Well, and are you going to get free agents who want to play with you too?
There's no – and they've got the cap space, and these guys will be on rookie deals. I mean, and that's why we say, look – this isn't a situation where it could be a franchising changing night. Tonight will be It's just
if they get him.
Right. Who? Is it? You know, will it be the Hawks? Will it be the Knicks? Will it be the Phoenix Suns? You know, it's gonna be a big night. All right, let's get to the phones now. 478-646 ESPN. Ken is in Macon. What's up, Killer? What's on your mind?
I was thinking about that lottery ball pick, whatever it is tonight, but if the Hawks, you know, Travis Link thinks that he ain't going to get Zion, do you think he'll trade down and try to get some other player? Because to me, they need something like a Mutombo in the center, and they need another guard or whatever. And I'm thinking about, I don't know why I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking about the old Pistons a long time ago. They used to have three guards, and then they had Rob and all that, and I was thinking that the Hawks could set up something like that, and if they could play defense, they'd be straight awesome.
Yep. Hey, Ken, we appreciate the phone call. You know, as far as big men in this draft, I'm not saying they don't need one. I think you're spot on with that. It's just who, and there are some tall guys in this draft. But when I think big man in today's NBA, I think you're talking Nikola Jokic. I think you're talking Joel Embiid. And to me, Daniel, the only player in this draft that could be that type of guy, and I don't think he is, by the way, but he could be, is Bol Bol.
Yeah.
And he has slipped so far down. And, Ken, I don't think they would trade back unless they were going to accumulate picks in another draft. Because, you know, Chris just mentioned this. Chris Kirschner just mentioned this in the interview. They don't want to add five rookies to this team. So, I mean, I wouldn't rule it out. And obviously, I think that's where the second pick comes into play. You have to, first of all, you have to secure the second pick. Because if the Mavericks end up in the top four, the Hawks are going to pick probably sixth or seventh, and they're taking that. They're not giving that pick up. Right. You get your lottery player. Beyond that, would they trade back for a Bol Bol? I don't know. And the other thing I'm not sure about, too, is I don't know what Travis Schlenk's feelings are about big men. You know, to me, you see guys in the draft described as centers at 6'11", 220. That's not really a big man.
No.
To me. And you've got a John Collins. I'm thinking, you know, 7 foot, at least 250 pounds when you say big man.
And there's not many of those guys left.
No, there's really not.
In the NBA. In college basketball. How many bangers are there? Not many bangers. It's a different league.
It is. It is a very different league. So, but you know, that, Ken, that could happen. I think I'm comfortable in saying a trade is going to happen. Now, but I think it's going to be more of a moving up to get into the back end of the first round, or, as Daniel said, a first round pick for next year, because they don't want to add five rookies to this team, and obviously, if you're trading back, you're accumulating picks, so they don't want to do that for 2019. And I guess what kind of gets lost in the Zion anticipation, and kind of what we're getting here talking about with these trade scenarios with Ken is, I mean, this is going to be a big draft for the Hawks, regardless. You're going to take a team that basically, from the time John Collins came back, played 500 basketball. They're going to get better. They're going to continue to develop themselves and get better. And then you're going to add a lottery pick, potentially two lottery picks, to that mix. And if you're really lucky, the most anticipated player since LeBron James. We're live at McCall's in Warner Robins. We invite you to come have some lunch with us. Nice crowd on hand already. They're located on the corner of Watson and Davis here in Warner Robins. They're open Monday through Friday from 10 until 2:30. A great spot to come have lunch if you're in Warner Robins. If you don't live in Warner Robins and you're in town for business and you have a chance to get away for lunch, I highly recommend it. We'll take a break for the top of the hour. Phone lines are open, 478-646-ESPN. A lot of NBA draft lottery talk on the program today, and we're back with more right after this.
It's time to have lunch and talk sports. It's the Midday Sports Zone on Middle Georgia's ESPN.
Hour number two of the Midday Sports Zone. Russ Brown and Daniel Shirley with you. Today we are broadcasting live from McCall's in Warner Robins, where they are open for lunch Monday through Friday from 10 until 2:30. You can also order on the Waiter app. You can call ahead for large orders, caterings, desserts, cakes, you name it. They've got it covered here at McCall's, a great spot to come have a sandwich. And again, I'm really today pushing for people in our listening area. If you're, you know, north of Warner Robins, maybe you live in Macon, maybe you live in Lazella, maybe you live in Gray, folks to the south, Hawkinsville, Perry, in the area. If you're in Warner Robins for business during the week, this is a great spot to come have lunch. And we, especially if you haven't tried it, we recommend that you do. The phone lines are open, 478-646-ESPN. Wherever you want to go in the world of sports is fine with us. A lot of talk in the first hour, obviously, about the NBA draft lottery coming up tonight. We are 8 hours, 28 minutes, and 50 seconds away from the – not that I'm counting.
Not that you're counting. That's right. Not you're counting down. That's right.
It could be a huge night for the Atlanta Hawks. It's going to be – I mean, the draft, like we said, is going to be a big draft for the Hawks regardless. But if they're able to land Zion Williamson, it would just be just absolutely incredible. The Braves are back in action tonight as well. They open up a three-game series against the St. Louis Cardinals. Folty on the mound tonight, and I'm worried about Foltynewicz, man. The dip in velocity is there. He's been worried about his slider. He's made three starts now for the Braves. He is 0-2 with an ERA of 5.94. He gave up four earned runs in his first outing, five earned runs in his third outing. Both of those went six innings. Only two earned runs against San Diego back on May the 2nd, but six runs total, and only lasted 4 2/3 innings. So hopefully he can get it going tonight. But, you know, my question here, Daniel, I mean, this is a guy that really came into his own last season. for the Braves and really kind of put it together and turn the corner and lived up to that potential that we had seen from him since 2015. Obviously, there's been a tremendous setback with injuries in spring training, and he's a little bit behind the eight ball. But this is his fourth start tonight. How many of these do you let pass before you really get that elbow looked at?
Well, I think if he struggles tonight, I think you start to look at it really hard, right? And if it doesn't, if he continues to have those problems, I don't know many more, right? Maybe a couple.
I mean, I can understand to a certain extent. Okay, he was sidetracked during spring training, so he's behind the eight ball a little bit. You know, we've seen the same thing with AJ Minter,
right?
But you know, we're talking about a fourth start here, and I mean, I just don't imagine you're going to get past four or five starts with him performing the way he's performing. Again, he only gave up two earned runs in the second start, but six runs across the plate total. Opponents have scored 15 runs in his three starts. I mean, he hasn't been the player that we saw last season. And when a guy that throws 96 miles an hour and a guy that can throw 96, by the way, into the sixth and seventh inning. I mean, he threw a complete game last year and was still humming it up there in the mid-90s in the ninth inning.
Yeah.
When that velocity goes from 95, 96 to 93, 94 – I mean, that just – it seems like when you get above 95, it's a different threshold.
Oh, yeah.
And for guys that can live above that mark, when they drop below it, they're just completely different pitchers.
And there's so many guys now who can throw that hard. Remember when 95 used to be
– oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, he's throwing 95. Now it's ho-hum 95 almost. But if you get to that point where you're throwing 95, 96, and then you drop down to 93 or 92, that's a big change. And you worry about a guy who was at that point and now is not, and how long do you give him? I'm with you, man. I don't know that I would give him too many more starts before I go get that checked. Unless he just says, look, I'm not feeling anything. I don't feel any pain. Well, even then, if you're not feeling any pain, what's the issue then? If you're not having any velocity, that concerns me.
Yeah. Well, and you know, guys want to pitch. Some guys just have that mentality, and that's why the team has to sit them down. And that's where my question, I think, is really coming from, because I don't think Fultes is going to be the guy that walks up to Kranitz or Snit and's like, says, man, yeah, my elbow's barking at me. Yeah. We need to get this thing looked at. I mean, he's going to go out there, and he's going to make his starts and do the best he can. Real quick, and I mean, we're not by any means a mouthpiece for the organization, but this is for our audience. I know a lot of you are Braves fans. They have a special going on right now for the games 2 weeks from today and on the 28th, and the next day's game on the 29th. I'll look ahead on the schedule and see who that's against. But with school getting ready to get out and the kids being home for summer, if you want to take your kids to a Braves game, they're doing $5 upper-level tickets for those two games only. They just announced this on Twitter. And as a father, I can tell you how expensive it is to take the family to the ballpark.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
If I mean, you're still going to have to pay for parking and concessions and all that, but $5 tickets being offered to the games on May the 28th and 29th to kind of kick off the summer. So if you want to, if your kids have been wanting to go to a Braves game, that's the two-game series against the Nationals, which will be that's the day after Memorial Day. Those are both night games, but just kind of a kickoff to summer sell there for the Atlanta Braves. But yeah, so you know, this is kind of the story beyond the story, right? I mean, obviously the Braves have won three in a row, salvaged the series against the Diamondbacks, salvaged the road trip, pulled themselves out of the fire. Now St. Louis comes calling. The Cardinals have a very good record, but they haven't been playing very good lately. So they're kind of cold, and so you want to be able to keep this winning streak going. And we said yesterday, you're kind of at that point in the season where you'd like to see the Braves whirl off about five or six in a row and just get comfortably above that 500 mark, because it's been such an up-and-down season. So that's kind of the story of the season right now. But for me, beyond tonight's game and all of that, it's Mike Foltynewicz.
Yeah, I mean, how healthy is he? How does he look? Yeah, you want him to win the game, and you want other things to happen where they're hitting the ball and the lineup looks good. But it's all about him. It's all about him. If he comes out and struggles again tonight, it's a huge red flag for what's going on to happen with the rest of this season for him.
Yeah.
And you got to get that figured out for sure. So you want to see him settle back into maybe not what he was last year. Maybe this year he won't be what he was last year.
But at least something close.
But at least something close.
Well, and the second part of that is for the Braves this year, when you look at the starting rotation, we know Free and Soroka have kind of stepped to the forefront, but you don't really have that third starter.
Yeah.
So in other words, 60% of your games, you're throwing out a Julio Teheran, who hasn't been terrible, but he's got an ERA of 4.26. Kevin Gausman, an ERA of 4.5. Folty, 5.94. And that's your rotation right now. So, you know, and I think I put so much emphasis on starting pitching. You know, when you look at that right now, is the five guys in the rotation now. Other guys have started, Newcomb, Wright, Toussaint, we know that. But for those five that are your rotation right now, 2-4 with an ERA of 4.26, 5-2 with an ERA of 3.25, 2-3 with an ERA of 4.5, 3-1 with an ERA of 1.21, and 0-2 with an ERA of 5.94. No wonder this team's 500.
That's right.
I mean, they're one pitcher short right now. No, it could be that pitcher could be on the staff. You know, Folty could put it together right tonight. Julio could go on a tear. I mean, the 2-4 record you don't like, but the 4.26 ERA, that's not bad. So, you know, anything could still happen here, but it just right now you feel like you're one pitcher short, and it's Mike Foltynewicz because of the season he had last year, and he's just not living up to it this year.
It does feel like they're just a little bit short of what they need to be. And, again, it's a lot of reasons for that. There's injuries. There's guys just not living up to what you thought they would be. But for most of the time this year with the Braves, it's been injuries. I mean, why is Foltynewicz behind? Well, he was injured.
Yeah. Bullpen, O'Day.
Bullpen,
and
why Minter, are they behind? Because
Vizcaino.
O'Day's not there. Vizcaino's out. I mean, it's been injuries for sure. And it almost feels like you can't settle into the season because something else is going to happen to throw you off track a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we'll see how Folty does in his start tonight for the Atlanta Braves. Again, the pregame show 6:05 here on the Superstations. First pitch goes out tonight at 7:20. We'll all take a break in about the third or fourth inning to watch the NBA draft lottery and then get back to it. Jack Flaherty, by the way, on the mound tonight for the St. Louis Cardinals. And mention the Cardinals coming into this game. Overall on the season, St. Louis is having a good year. Man, that NL Central is really good, by the way. A lot of good teams in that division. The Cardinals are in third place. They're 22-19, but they have lost 8 out of their last 10, and they come in on a 3-game losing streak. So not the hottest team coming into SunTrust Park tonight. And if you're the Braves, you want to take advantage of it. The Braves are 21-20 so far on the season. They are 3.5 back of the Phillies. The Phillies now 8 games over 500. They've won 3 in a row, so they're really starting to get hot. The Mets have won a couple in a row. They're 19-20, so you know, we knew it was going to be a battle and a dogfight throughout, and we're in the midst of that. And really for the Braves, you know, we talk about being one starting pitcher short. We talk about the needs in the bullpen. These are all things that you can address with the trade deadline. But right now, I think before we get to the trade deadline, the key is going to be staying in the race so that when you do get to the trade deadline, you can make those moves.
Right, make the moves to help the team. You don't want to be too far behind. And what'd you say? The Phillies are 3.5 up on the Braves now?
Yeah, Phillies are 3.5. Like, you look at the Nationals right now, they're 16-24 and 8 games back. That's not where you want to be in May.
No, the Nationals could fall out of it pretty quick.
Yeah, and I mean, basically, if you're Washington right now, you're one bad week away from being out of the mix.
And the
just completely out of the mix.
A lot of money in the offseason.
They did.
I mean, I know the Phillies did too. I mean, granted.
Sure.
Phillies made as many moves as anybody. Getting Bryce Harper and Real Muto and McCutcheon, and they did a lot of stuff. But the Nationals spent a lot of money, and theirs is not working out. And look, Bryce Harper's hitting .230. He's striking out a lot. Last night he made a game-saving catch in right field that saved a 3-run double in the 7th inning in a tie game. He's finding
little ways, Nick Markakis action.
Yeah, he's finding ways to help the team, but other guys are stepping up. Real Muto's doing well. I mean, Rhys Hoskins looks like an MVP candidate.
Mm-hmm.
I know he's not at the level of some of those top guys, but he's right there. Having Bryce Harper on this team is making them better, even though he's not playing as well as they would like right now.
Sure. And if you're the Braves, you have to be aware of that, because right now the team at the top of the division is hot. They've won 7 of the last 10 and 3 in a row. The Braves are right there with them, and the Braves have only lost 1 game in the last 10. To the Phillies. The Braves have 6 out of their last 10 on that road trip, but you want to keep pace. Again, the Cardinals in town tonight. Mike Foltynewicz on the hill for the Atlanta Braves. The pregame show will start at 6:05 with first pitch at 7:20. Jack Flaherty will be on the mound for the Cardinals. Phone lines are open 478-646-ESPN. You can talk Braves baseball, NBA draft lottery, wherever you'd like to go in the world of sports. And we're back with more of the Midday Sports Zone right after this. Russ and Daniel back with you here on the Midday Sports Zone. Excuse me, phone lines are open 478-646-ESPN. Let's go to Jason in Warner Robins. Hey, how you doing? Hello, Jason. I'm guessing he dropped. All right, he hung up. Said he hadn't listened in a while and wants to know what's happening with the Hawks and the Falcons. Well, there's this thing called the NBA Draft Lottery tonight. It's kind of a big deal. And the Hawks just wrapped up a rookie minicamp. Does that cover it?
That pretty much covers the Hawks, yeah. At least the Falcons, anyway. The Hawks. Yeah.
Oh, and Julio Jones will be at the offseason workouts.
He's going to be at the offseason workouts. We'll have a lot to talk about the Hawks tomorrow, after we find out what happens tonight.
So that's what's going on, Jason and Warner Robins, with the Hawks and the Falcons. There you
go. Are you excited about the Falcons, those two offensive linemen? Maybe it's excited the right word.
No, I'm not excited.
Intrigued?
I'm grateful, thankful, appreciative. I just don't know. As a Falcons fan, I love it for what it means for the organization moving forward. And I love the fact that after 12 years, they finally decided that you might want to protect the franchise quarterback.
Yep.
Matt Ryan was sacked more than any quarterback in the league last year. He was pressured more than any quarterback in the league last year. No quarterback's going to be successful with that going on. The numbers he put up despite that were incredible. And they're finally protecting him. I don't know, as far as this season is concerned, it feels like it's playoffs or bust for Dan Quinn in the front office. And I'm not sure they're good enough to make the playoffs. But long term, I love it.
I do too. I really am intrigued by those guys. They seem to have a toughness about them that was lacking.
Yeah. There's an attitude.
Maybe even a meanness or an attitude. Yeah, there was something lacking about the offensive line last year.
I mean, it's you think about Falcons teams in recent memory, and they played for the Super Bowl.
Sure.
And in 2016, but when you think of the Atlanta Falcons. Tough doesn't come to mind.
You don't think
mean
it's tough.
Doesn't come to mind. I mean, Keanu Neal maybe because he's a hard hitting safety, but I mean, the Falcons are not a tough, hard nosed, gritty football team by any stretch of the imagination, and that's really been what's missing. You look at the team. I mean, Matt Ryan is the franchise quarterback that's not going to say anything wrong. You don't have any – I mean, Alex Mack maybe has a little bit of that mean streak going on. Maybe Jake Matthews. I mean, I'm sorry. I know people say Julio is a good teammate, but when you tear a contract up 2 years into it when your team's in a salary cap, that's a me-first player.
Yeah.
Vic Beasley does not have the personality of a defensive lineman or a guy that's going to get after the quarterback. I mean, Deion Jones is a really good player, but you don't think of him as a thumper. I think people are more – I don't think people are intimidated by Deion Jones. I think they're worried about Deion Jones because of how much ground he can cover.
And so much speed, right.
I think it's a definite attitude and maybe – and look, you don't need every aspect of the team to embody that sort of mentality. If you can get three or four offensive linemen that are just going to maul you up front and be nasty, the rest of it falls into place. So, yeah, I love the draft. I just don't know how – I also think it's foolish to get too excited about – two rookie offensive linemen having as big as an impact as needs to be had to help that offensive line.
Right. I just think
now 2-3 years down the road.
Right. I think they made a good move with both of those picks, and I'm excited to see what they bring to this team. If one of those guys is a starter this year, it was a good draft. What if both of them are starters? I mean, that's a great draft, and maybe a franchise changing kind of a change the the direction of this franchise kind of a draft if both of those guys turn into be starters.
It sure would be nice. It really would. I mean, after what we've had to endure, I mean, we're 1 year removed for this team drafting a wide receiver in the first round.
Yeah.
I mean, you didn't need a wide receiver. And, I mean, it's not that Ridley's not a good player, but, you know, I think Falcons fans for the last decade have kind of been duped into this, well, we're getting really good players. Well, where's the consistency in winning? I mean, it hasn't been there. I mean, the first 3 years of Matt Ryan's career, it was there. And then it carried over for a couple more seasons after that, and then they dipped down to 4-12, and then they go back up to the Super Bowl, and now they're on another downward dip. You haven't had that consistent winning where this team's in playoff contention every year. Which, I mean, they're from where they're coming from, before Matt Ryan was drafted, they'd never had back-to-back winning seasons.
Right.
You know, we're not that far removed from them winning back-to-back playoff game, our playoff game in back-to-back years for the first time ever. But I just, I mean, I guess with higher expectations comes more pressure. You know, if the kid that grew up rooting for the Falcons in the 90s had watched the last decade play out and heard what I was saying, they'd probably be like, dude, you're crazy. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Yep.
But I think the pieces have been there for over a decade to win the Super Bowl, but they haven't been able to put it together.
They got so close to winning it.
When you draft a quarterback like Matt Ryan, the hope is that the Super Bowl follows. And they've been close. But they always go backwards. And in a big way, too. They don't just back up a little bit. I mean, this team was 4-12, Mike Smith's last year.
Yeah.
And that was 2 years removed from going to the NFC playoffs. Yeah, they backed up this year. I don't know, people say the injuries had something to do with that, and they did. But the thing is, they didn't beat a team with a winning record.
Right.
I mean, think about that.
And the reason that the injuries had such a big impact is they didn't have any depth. They had made so many bad moves that they didn't have any depth to be able to offset some of those injuries. None of those injuries could they handle because they had no depth.
Yeah. And I'll give, you know, Dan Quinn a lot of credit. And that he said after the season they had two offensive linemen, Alex Mack and Jake Matthews. And if you look at how this offseason has played out, for once what they're saying matches up with what they're doing. And I think that's important too. How many times, when you follow these franchises from afar, or you could say the same thing about college football programs or any college program for that matter, I mean, how frustrating as a fan is it when your team's saying one thing and doing another?
Does something totally different.
I mean, you look at the Atlanta Braves in the offseason they just had. They're 21-20. You want to know what? You think the fans are upset because they're 21-20? You think fans are upset because Faulty has a sore elbow?
Nope.
No, fans are upset because Terry McGurk said they could shop at any aisle, and then they spent less money on the team this year than they did last year.
Right.
Saying one thing and doing another. The Falcons have been bad about that.
And didn't address the biggest issue on the team.
Yeah.
If they had gone out and addressed the bullpen and then those guys didn't perform.
That's one thing.
That happens. Yep. But they didn't even address it.
Right. It's kind of like when you look at the Falcons and you say this offensive line is a dumpster fire. You can't run the football. You can't protect the quarterback. You're not going to have any success. You're not going to be competitive. You're not going to win playoff games until you fix this offensive line. So if the players they brought in with the draft and free agency don't help the offensive line, they don't help the offensive line, but you can't say they didn't address it.
At least they tried.
You know.
That's right.
And that's a whole gets into talent evaluation and needing to move on and all that stuff. See, I don't worry too much about that because that's all going to take care of itself. It's just – I guess I feel better because they're not just saying one thing and doing another.
Those things happen.
Yeah.
You know, you miss on a player. But if you don't even try to address it, then you've got an issue. And that's what the Braves did this offseason.
Yeah. No, it is. That's kind of a good crossover there. A really good example of what we're talking about. And I can't sit here and say after that draft the Falcons are saying one thing and doing another.
No, because they finally stopped doing
that. I mean, it's not rocket surgery.
No.
But it just may be too little too late for the – coach in the front office, but I mean I've never for the life of me understood how in the world a professional football team and it's not like these guys don't know football, right? It's not like these guys are idiots or anything like that, but how in the world when you have a franchise quarterback like Matt Ryan, I mean forget everything else about the team, you have a franchise quarterback in Matt Ryan who has a average salary of $30 million per season. You signed him to a five-year, $150 million contract. $100 million of that contract is guaranteed. That's the investment you made in your franchise quarterback, and you don't protect him?
And you don't try to even try to protect him.
I mean, that's just that, – I mean, think about it. Think about it. If you purchased anything for $100 million, aren't you going to protect it? You're going to insure it? You're going to secure it? You're going to – I mean, and the Falcons didn't do that. They have now. They have now. So it's I'm in a weird place right now. I'm grateful, appreciative, thankful, not optimistic. But if they lose, it'll take care of itself. And as fans, we just, you know, whoever the next group is that comes in, they're going to have some pieces to work with. And the good news, too, with the salary cap situation that we discussed a lot, which, I mean, they've got a lot of players that they're still going to have to cut before the roster gets down to 46. Obviously, they've got this summer and into the training camp to get all that squared away. But next year, it's a lot more cap. There's a couple of more cuts you can make. Devonta Freeman, Desmond Trufant. You can create a lot more salary cap space. So if you do come in with a new regime, and even if this regime is still there and they still need to make roster adjustments, it's going to be a lot easier next offseason than it has been this offseason.
Yeah, it really is. And it's, like you said, it could be a different regime going through those moves next year. But it's going to be really interesting to see. I mean, this – I know the owner has said those two guys aren't tied at the hip. I don't know how they're not. I think they have to be tied at the hip, especially if they fail again this year.
I'll say this, and I'm kind of – this is one of those things that you really shouldn't say because you may regret it someday. But I'm at a point with Thomas Dimitroff that if the Falcons go 6-10 this year, and Dan Quinn's let go, and he's still hanging around after all the moves he's made in his tenure. I mean, I'm not sure I can be a fan of this team anymore.
I think if one of them has to go, it has to be Dimitroff. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's been there the longest. This is his second regime with a head coach. If one of them goes, it's got to be Dimitroff.
I mean, right. And I know I go back to this a lot, Daniel. And we've talked about what a soft media market Atlanta can be. Do you think if the Giants general manager gave up four draft picks for Odell Beckham Jr., that he would still be employed as the general manager of the New York Giants after 4-12 season 4 years later?
No.
I mean, where else does that happen? Where else do you make a move that big that doesn't pay off and the GM keeps his job? Where else does that happen?
The only way it could pay off is if...
I mean, I'm sorry, when you give up four picks for a first-round pick, that's to win a Super Bowl.
And if they had won the Super Bowl, then you just say, okay, they won.
They worked.
Right, right.
You move on. But they didn't. So, whew. And the thing is, if you talk about, if you look at all the professional teams in Atlanta, since Thomas Dimitroff became the GM in 2008, who's had the most success in that 12-year run? It's not even close, right?
Yeah, it's not close.
So it's a Falcon. It's just weird, man. It's weird. Look, with the job that Thomas Dimitroff has done in over a decade, it's brought higher expectations, and in some ways, he may be a victim of his own success. You know, and sometimes as a fan, you have to take a step back and realize that, I mean, the last 12 years of Atlanta Falcons football is the best 12-year run in franchise history, and it's not even close.
No, it's not close at
all. And he's been the GM for all of that. So it's weird. I mean, right up to the question you asked to start this segment, are you excited about the draft picks? No, but I'm appreciative. What a weird – that's a weird answer. I mean, the whole thing is just – it's weird.
It's different.
Yep. There you go, Jason. That's what's going on with the Falcons. 478-646-ESPN. Back with more from McCall's right after this. Welcome back into the Midday Sports Zone. Russ Brown, Daniel Shirley with you here at McCall's. I had some friends stop by during the commercial break. Always good to see our friends down here in the Warner Robins area. We thank everybody for always listening, and we do ask that you patronize the sponsors.
Right, man. And why wouldn't you want to support local?
Oh, yeah. Support eat local, man. Eat local. Just eat. That's my thing. Eat local. Anytime the family, we're like, yeah, let's go out to dinner tonight. Where you want to go? I don't care. Somewhere local. There is one chain restaurant I will eat at. Because they serve steak and the wife is willing to go.
And they've got good food.
She's a vegetarian.
They do a good job there. And the service is good.
Service is extraordinary.
Service is outstanding. So
that's the biggie. There's nothing worse than bad service. You know?
And there's no excuse for it either.
No. I mean, I'll give you an example. And I won't, they're not a sponsor, but we were, and it was a Mexican restaurant. We were at a Mexican restaurant on Saturday, and they were slammed. And you could tell that somebody, they were busier than they thought. It was like 5:30, 6 o'clock. You know, I was with me and the boy. We eat like old people. So it was like 5:30, 6 o'clock in the evening. And they were busier than they thought where they were going to be because there were two big tables that had come in, like 10 or more people. This is not a big restaurant either. And you could tell that they were short-staffed. And so things were kind of slow. But that didn't mean the service was bad. You know? I mean, like you said,
that's two different things.
The things are going to happen that kind of put you in the bond. And yes, there are jerks out there that are going to go sit down in a place to eat. And they're not going to be aware enough to really realize what has happened. And they don't appreciate the effort. But, man, as long as the effort's there. That's all you can ask
for,
right?
There's a difference between having bad service and being overwhelmed by
the
situation.
I mean, they were doing everything they can. Like the guy that brought us our drinks apologized and said thank you for your patience. You know, in the meantime, where he was trying to get back over to the table to take our order, one of the other waitresses had a moment, so she came and she took our order. I mean, they were just pulling it together as best they can.
I told you I was.
That was really appreciative of that.
I was in a drive-thru the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Took 25 minutes. And when I got up to get my food, there was no sorry for the wait. It was just, you had this, took my money, gave me my food, and gave me my change, and didn't say anything.
It's crazy, man. 25 minutes in a drive-thru is ridiculous.
Yep.
Absolutely ridiculous. Maybe they shouldn't be in charge of the government. Maybe they're not as efficient as we were. Oh, I wasn't supposed to say that. They're not a sponsor. Anyway, phone lines are open, 478-646-ESPN. You know, I've let my mind wander in the last few days of what tonight could be, what it could be like if the Atlanta Hawks actually land Zion Williamson. I don't know. Obviously, the 60-win team, you know, it was this time of year. People had jumped on the bandwagon. People were calling the shows, talking about the Hawks, excited about the Hawks. It was a fun brand of basketball to watch, an entertaining team. So that was definitely a peak. The Dominique years, you know, because you had such a dynamic player, I think there was a lot of interest in Hawks basketball. But, you know, the Hawks have always been in the pecking order of the teams we talk about on a regular basis. I mean, they're pretty much at the bottom. But I tell you, you land one player, and this is what can be fun about the sport of basketball. One player can make that big of a difference. And the thought of the Hawks being able to add Zion Williamson to the mix that they already have, I mean, I mean, the jersey sales, the season tickets, the interest, the excitement, it's just going to be thinking about, you know, we carry the Hawks games here on the station. And I think for most people, it's just an afterthought. It's just like, oh yeah, they carry the Hawks. I don't really listen. You should, because Steve Holman's the best in the business. But, I mean, even that, people being more excited if you're riding around at night and you're not in front of the TV to listen to a Hawks game to hear what Zion Williamson might be doing. I mean, it's crazy to think. And I don't know. I mean, in 97, they weren't going to get Tim Duncan. They weren't going to get LeBron James. They weren't really even in the mix for Anthony Davis. So, you know, when's the last time the Atlanta Hawks were this high up in the odds, the pecking order for the lottery, at the same year you had a franchise-changing player kind of floating out there in the wind? Never. And I don't think it's ever happened,
never,
has it?
Never. No. No. And it's going to be something to see tonight. I mean, it really, really is, to see how this plays out, how they, who they draft, if they get the number one pick. We all know who they're going to draft. I mean, we know who the number one pick is going to be in this draft. I saw people saying on Chris's live Q&A, would the Hawks trade out of the number one pick? Are you kidding me?
No.
No way.
I just saw this. Sam Amico, who's on in the afternoon with us, writes for AmicoHoops.net. One of the writers for his site, not Sam, writes, Zion may be top choice but may not be best player. when I first saw that headline, you know what the first thing I thought was?
So what?
Clickbait.
Yeah.
That's just clickbait. Yeah. You're just writing a counter story because of all the talk of Zion Williamson, and there are going to be people out there that are intrigued by that. They're going to read it. I don't know how you can watch this kid play basketball and not think he's going to be an elite player in the NBA. I mean, is his game perfect? No, it's not. He's a freshman in college.
Right.
Who's fully developed as a freshman in college? I mean, you look at the Sixers and the run they just made. Joel Embiid is still developing.
Not even close to being a perfect player.
Right. Nikola Jokic is still developing. I mean, these guys aren't going to be their best until they're 25, 26 years old, but at 6'7", 280 pounds, with his ability to handle the basketball, his quickness off the dribble, his instincts, his basketball IQ, there's no matchup for him. I mean, he is an absolute matchup nightmare
And his work ethic. And his want to.
His drive. Yeah. How competitive
he is. How much he hates to lose. Look, after he got hurt, he could have just said, all right, guys, I'm done. I'm going to go get ready for the NBA draft. A lot of people said he should have done that. And he got back as quick as he could and helped that team win the ACC tournament.
Mm-hmm.
The kid, to me, his work ethic, his want to, his you said it, basketball IQ, those are things I didn't know anything about when all I saw in high school was all the dunking videos.
Right.
Playing against a bunch of 5'10 white kids. I mean, that's what he played. He played in a private school league.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, well, okay, how's that going to translate to college? Well, it translated pretty damn well. And it's going to translate pretty damn well to the NBA as well. I think he's going to be a superstar.
I do, too. And I think, you know, the athleticism, the intangibles you talked about, the competitive nature, the work ethic, I mean, for him, it's to a level that you can't teach. You know, when you say competitive, and we're talking about basketball, Michael Jordan is the first name that comes to mind for me. And his competitive level and his desire to win, I think, is on that level. I'm not saying he's that player.
Right, it's almost nasty.
But his drive to win is really, it's on that level. And sadly, you don't see that very often in professional sports anymore. I mean, this is the type of player that could change all of that.
I think so.
Because if you're going to beat him, you're going to have to put in the work that he puts in.
You're going to have to beat him. He's not going to beat himself.
No.
And I think he's going to be special. Whatever team gets him, it's a franchise-changing event for that team. And if it's the Hawks, if it's Suns, whoever. Now, look, I think there are other good players in this draft. I think Ja Morant is a star. I think he will be a star. I think Coby White is a guy who's kind of underrated. The kid from North Carolina, I think he's going to be a good player. RJ Barrett, I think, is going to be a star. Cam Reddish, I'm not so sure about, but I think he can be a really good player. So,
but doesn't it feel like those players are come along?
They come every year.
2 or 3 years, yeah, maybe right. Even every
or
year.
Or every year, yeah.
Where Zion just feels like once a decade, that's once right. A generation type deal.
There is an RJ Barrett in every draft.
There really is.
There's a Cam Reddish in every draft.
I love DeAndre Hunter.
Maybe not RJ Barrett. And I forgot about DeAndre. There's a DeAndre Hunter in every draft.
I mean, he's outside of Zion, he's probably my favorite player in this draft. You could probably find him next year.
That's right.
You could have probably found him last year.
That's right.
I mean, it just...
Unless he turns into... A lot of people compare him to Kawhi. Now, he turns into Kawhi, then but hell, Kawhi was drafted 15th.
Right.
Nobody knew who Kawhi was.
No.
He played at New Mexico State.
Right.
So, you know, we'll see. I mean, he's about the same size. He's a good defender. That's why people are saying that.
Yeah.
But, man, I'm telling you.
But Zion's just,
Zion's another level.
He's a different level, man. Yep. And it just... The more you watched him at Duke, the more you realized he could be that player. I'm looking back at last year's draft. DeAndre Ayton went number one. Marvin Bagley, Luka Doncic to the Hawks. There it is.
But see, Marvin Bagley and RJ Barrett are the same player.
Jaren Jackson, Trey Young, Muhammad Bamba, Wendell Carter, Colin Sexton, Kevin Knox, Mikal Bridges, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Miles Bridges, Jerome Robinson, Michael Porter, Troy Brown. I mean, we could go on and on and on and on and on, and you're going to find those players. I mean, you look at two of the best players taken in the late rounds, Kevin Herter and Josh Okogie went back-to-back. and the rookie years they turned in.
Right.
You know,
good players.
They're good players. I mean, and those guys are in every draft. And look, if the Falcons don't get Zion Williamson, there's no reason to – I mean, there'll be disappointment, sure, but there's no reason to be disappointed because they're still going to get good players. It's just you're not going to get that guy that can change the course of history.
You can still build a championship team, but it's not going to have the buzz of all this other stuff, right?
Yeah.
With Zion. Zion is all the basketball plus all the marketing. You're not going to get that with R.J. Barrett. And you might get it with Ja Morant. Maybe. Not to Zion's level. So we'll see. I do think that Zion is the guy. That's why everybody's going to watch tonight. That's why Jamie Gertz has got a red ribbon on her bra so they can get Zion.
Hey, whoa.
Well, I mean, she said that the other day.
Oh, yeah, that's a Jewish
thing.
She's
trying to be the good luck charm. So,
that's right.
It's gonna be a fun night. It might be the highest rated night of the NBA this year.
That's crazy to think, but it might be.
Might be.
Because it's a friend for somebody, and we don't know who, but for one of these 14 teams in the NBA's draft lottery, it's a franchise-changing night. I hope it's the Hawks. We'll take a break. We're wrapping it up for McCall's right after this. Shirley back with you here on the Midday Sports Zone. Wrapping it up for McCall's here on this. That is a gorgeous day, man. It is an absolutely beautiful day here in Middle Georgia. We are obviously anticipating the draft lottery tonight and also the Braves back in action against the Cardinals as well. Oh, by the way, there's a basketball game on after the lottery if anybody's interested as the conference finals get underway. And, you know, I know what's been written about. You've got Milwaukee, you've got Toronto, you know, you've got Portland. Not the best group of cities for the NBA playoffs. Obviously, Golden State in the mix as well. But I think for people that are basketball fans, I mean, I watch these teams play, and I like what I see. I like the product. I appreciate what we're seeing out of these teams, and I mean Portland in particular, because it's, you know, we all know who Damian Lillard is. CJ McCollum had the big game in Game 7. This Collins kid that they drafted,
Zach Collins. Gonzaga.
I mean, he's a heck of a player. Enes Kanter's on that team. I mean, they're a good basketball team. Will they beat Golden State? Probably not. And Game 1 in that series will be tonight at 9:00. But they're probably not going to win this series. But I think it's going to be at least, even if it only goes 5 or 6 games, I think the games will at least be competitive. And then Milwaukee and Toronto, I mean, it's really simple. We can talk about the size of those cities and people can say it's going to hurt the ratings. I actually don't think it is, because I think it's going to bring a lot of people back that haven't been watching because the ratings have been down anyway. But you have the best players in the East. If the best players in the East after LeBron James left, the Greek Freak and Kawhi Leonard. Well, guess who's playing in the Eastern Conference
That's
Finals?
Right.
Big shocker.
And don't we need to get past that, oh, it's not a big market kind of a stuff? I mean, the NFL doesn't worry about what market they're in. It's just the best teams.
I do.
We got to get past that stuff. That stuff is irrelevant. Do you think that in Milwaukee is going to care if they win a title that they're not in a big market? No way.
That stuff's
irrelevant.
Well, I also think with television, it doesn't – that part should not matter as much. And I also think –
But like you said in the World Series, we had Chicago – I mean, we had L.A. and Boston, and nobody watched.
Right. And I think that's what – I think that's what we're figuring out. It used to be if you had those big markets, then obviously with more people there, more televisions are going to be tuned in. But as we kind of move into the 21st century here where – the way people get their content is varied. I mean, some people do it over the internet. Some people still do it over the airwaves. Some people have cable subscriptions. I mean, a lot of people get their content delivered to them in a lot of different ways. So, you know, you're not going to have like, all right, tonight back in the 70s, what's actually on television in New York City? Not much. So if the Knicks are playing in a playoff game, you're going to have millions upon millions of people tune in to watch it. And if the same thing in the 70s with Milwaukee, well, there's not anything on in Milwaukee either, and everybody's going to tune in, but it's not a big city, so not as many people are going to watch.
Right.
I think that's an old way of thinking. You fast forward to now, you know, people always talk about ratings being down for different sports and what's going on. Television ratings are down, period. I mean, if you could look at the overnight ratings for this weekend on network television, I mean, you've got 11 to 12 million Americans watching network television. That's nothing. I mean, that's nobody. So it, either it's interesting and people choose to tune in amongst all the choices they have, or it's not. And I think the Boston LA World Series proved that, because if you're a baseball fan, it was really hard to watch a Dodger team go out there leaving their best players on the bench and getting it handed to them. And the whole time some guy with a pocket protector and calculators telling you, you don't understand baseball.
Right.
I think that's where the best players on the bench came from.
Yeah. I mean, that stuff's got
to
go away.
Yeah. I don't think market size has anything to do with it. And I tell you, I think these playoffs are going to show you that, because if you're a basketball fan, forget, you know, people say the NBA or college basketball, international, FIBA, all that. Forget that. Do you like the sport of basketball or not? If you like the sport of basketball, I think you're going to enjoy these conference finals, because these are four good basketball teams. They play well together. It's more than just one player. Now, granted, with Golden State, they're the favorite because it's a collection of superstar players that could be that one player. But this isn't going to be watching James Harden go off a pick and roll all night long.
No.
There's a lot more to what these teams do. Even with Giannis, I mean, he's the focal point of what Milwaukee does, and they play through him. But believe me, if Toronto wants to double-team him and force somebody else to shoot, he's not going to throw up stupid shots just because he's Giannis. He's going to play within what they need Milwaukee to do.
These are well-coached teams.
Very well-coached
every
teams,
one of them.
Skilled players, smart players, and I think that's kind of what it boils down to. Again, if you're a basketball fan. Now, if you just don't like the sport of basketball, I can understand that.
Look, we all have our own things we like and don't like. I've gotten to the point where I'm done worrying about what other people like or criticizing what they do like or don't like. If you don't like basketball, you don't like it. I mean, and that's okay. It's okay for me not to like soccer, and other people do. It's okay. I've never watched a second of Game of Thrones. That's all anybody has talked about for the last month. That's fine. It's okay for. You're right. It is a dated way of thinking about whether or not something was a success or not. It's TV ratings.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is.
I mean, I don't know. I'll be honest. Last night in my household, for example, but when I got back from my exercise about 7:30, our television was probably on for maybe 2 or 3 hours. And outside of the 30 minutes of Jeopardy, we watched off of an antenna. That's the only thing that would show up in a rating, because everything else was off of Netflix. You know, people, it's just different now. And it just comes down to entertainment value. And I think these playoffs are going to provide that. Right now on Twitter, Awful Announcing just tweeted, ESPN and Turner have to be wincing because of the markets involved.
Come on, man.
And that's where I'm like, that's where I want to say, didn't the World Series disprove that with Boston and L.A.? I mean, I don't buy that anymore. I think that's an outdated way of thinking. I really do. You know, people can take numbers and twist them to say whatever they want them to say. But I think when you really get behind not the what, but the why, it makes a lot more sense that way, right?
Oh, it definitely does. You talked about clickbait earlier. That's clickbait. That's all that is. That is such a short-sighted way of looking at things that you've got to move past that. You've got to be able to look beyond what could be considered the obvious. There's other ways to look at things now. And we all watch differently. I mean, last night I watched the Phillies game and the Nash and the Brewers game on my laptop. Does that count for TV ratings? I don't know.
I don't know. But we'll see what the numbers are. We'll see what the numbers are. And the tricky part is, though, that again, they'll take the numbers to say whatever they want them to say. But how does it compare to the first two rounds? That's what I want to know. Not how does it compare to last year or the year before.
Right.
How does it compare to the first two rounds? Is this an interesting product? We're wrapping it up here at McCall's. Thanks for listening, as always. Don't forget now, right here on the corner of Watson and Davis in Warner Robins. If you're in town on business, if you live in town, obviously, great spot to come have lunch. They're open Monday through Friday from 10 until 2:30. You can visit them online from McCall's1001.com for more information. And it's time for us to eat.
Time to eat lunch.
Well, I already had lunch.
You already had lunch.
It's time for you to eat.
Time for me to eat.
Time for Daniel to eat. We're going to wrap it up here. Appreciate you listening as always. Don't forget now, the Chuck Oliver Show is next, and the Bill Shank Show will be live this afternoon at the Taco Shed. Also in Warner Robins, plenty more NBA draft lottery talk, as it is could be a big night here in the history of the Atlanta Hawks. For Daniel, I'm Russ. We'll do it again tomorrow at 11. Y'all have a